sir?
Jermaine Jackson.
Okay, Mr. Jackson. The Honorable Mr. Louis Kowalis is going to conduct your hearing, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Jackson, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can.
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Jermaine Jackson, J-E-R-M-A-I-N-E, last name Jackson, 166740.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision.
Okay.
This hearing is about the 3 alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on December 18, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
December 18th?
Yes. We have a form called a notification of board hearing. And it looks
I have it right here.
Okay, excellent. That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you can hire...
Yes, 12-18-18.
Yes, sir. That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Here in the attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, I'm representing myself today.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. You cannot see us as we're not having a video conference, but in the hearing room, we have the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. At the center bench, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing. Also present in the room is our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, Mr. Grady, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
All right.
I would also like to mention that you have a supporter in the room today. So as we reach the stage of phase one where we swear everyone in, I will swear you all in at the same time if you plan on speaking, sir.
Yes.
Okay. Right now we're just swearing. So.
Okay.
Again, before we get started, I need to swear everyone in. So Mr. Jackson.
Yes.
Mr. Grady.
Yes.
And Mr. Petrovic?
Yes.
Do you all solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
I do.
I do.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Mr. Jackson, this hearing will be conducted in 2 phases. Phase 1 will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase 2 deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, I do.
And again, keep in mind, there's a separate motion in which we pass the hearing from phase 1 to phase 2.
Okay.
I will begin phase 1 of this hearing by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal division company as follows. Allegation number 1, violation of condition number 7, was demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about May 17, 2018 for the task GCMS lab report dated May 23, 2018. Mr. Jackson, is this true or false?
True.
Thank you. Allegation number 2, violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your use of heroin on or about May 7th, 2018 for the task GCMS lab report dated May 10th, 2018. Mr. Jackson, is this true or false?
True.
Final allegation, allegation number 3, violation of condition number 3, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 9430 North 11th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about June 18, 2018, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer, your whereabouts were unknown, thus you're an absconder from supervision. Mr. Jackson, is this true or false?
True.
Thank you. Based on Mr. Jackson's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or had lapsed in a criminal ways or a company.
Agreed.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal and agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright. No, Ms. Gail Johnson. I mean, Gail Rittenhouse, pardon me. Just one second as I check the boxes. Okay, Mr. Jackson, we are going to continue with the second phase of your hearing, and it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Grady, our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, is going to give us additional background information about your case. If you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail, okay, sir?
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Grady.
Mr. Jackson was released from DOC on June 16th of 2017. He was arrested on November 30th of 2018 by Phoenix PD. He has no new charges. He returned to DOC on November 30th of 2018. He has a CCD of February 28th of 2020 that reflects 165 abscond days. Current conviction, 2002. Murder, second degree, 16 years. He has no prior convictions. He has one term with DOC, his CEIR score is a 3-3, mental health score is a 2, substance abuse score is a 2. He has no gang affiliation, no prior term of supervision. Disciplinary violations are moderate with drugs noted. Other arrests, 1996, armed robbery, Arizona juvenile probation. 1996, aggravated assault, Arizona juvenile probation. 1998, burglary, Arizona juvenile detention. 1998, criminal damage, Arizona juvenile detention. 1998, theft, Arizona juvenile detention. 1999, trafficking and stolen property, Arizona juvenile detention. He's got a community risk score of G1V1.
Thank you, Mr. Grady. Back to you, Mr. Jackson. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. And before we get started, I also want to say that we received a letter regarding this hearing. That opposes the board returning you to community supervision, and now is as good a time as any to make a point of that. But we have those letters as part of our revocation document. I will again make a quick review of your case supervision summary. Looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections to Alongside Ministries in Phoenix, Arizona. Then you were approved to reside at Traditions located at 2429 West Vista Avenue in Phoenix. On January 4th, 2018, you were discharged. On March 9th, 2018, I'm sorry, you received, pardon me, I had that wrong, the way this was written, but you received in January 2018, and you were discharged in March of 2018 for failure to pay your rent. Then you were approved to reside at 2502 West Vista Avenue, unit number 2 in Phoenix, with Traditions, and you were discharged due to missing the October 27, 2017 check-in. The next approved residence was at Victory Outreach, located at 3424 North 27th Avenue in November of 2017. The next approved residence was at 2429 West Vista Avenue on January 11, 2018, and you were discharged on March 7, 2018 for non-payment fees. I apologize, but the residence section is written funny. The next approved residence was at 2501 West Elm Street in Phoenix. You were discharged on May 14, 2018. Your last known whereabouts was at 9430 North 11th Avenue in Phoenix. You were discharged on June 18, 2018 for failure to report to bed check. So, with you missing from community supervision for 165 days after that, where are you living?
100, after the transitional living center?
Yes, after that last residence on June 18, 2018.
I was basically living wherever I can live at. I was homeless numerous amounts of times. And I believe I stated in the letter that I sent.
Okay, what was stated in the letter that you sent?
I basically, I'll read it off. So when I was housed at the Transitional Living Center located in North Phoenix, I was currently working at a pallet company on 35th Avenue on Buckeye Road, at which I got home late evenings. I was informed at around 6 to leave the property by a night manager under the impression the police had been called. I greatly did not want to go back to prison, so I fled. Then from there, I helped the elderly woman fix up and sell her condo. Then I also bought household items, helped clean, and I did everything I could do. I continued to volunteer at different churches, organizations. I worked the whole entire time that I was on the run or absconding. It had on the paper absconding. I just basically did what a good person's supposed to do. I worked the whole entire time. I stayed motivated. I went to church. I was ushering the church. I donated food, I donated money, I did everything that I could do to continue being positive. I didn't know what to do at the time that I was told to leave the Transitional Living Center. So the only thing I knew to do, I knew one thing, I didn't want to go back to prison. And I knew that I hadn't been doing anything wrong. I had the prior violations, I had the prior drug use, which I went to the MRC program for that. And I was released, and when I was at Transitional Living Center the entire time, I didn't do anything wrong at all. I didn't have any altercations. I didn't have any arguments. I didn't use any drugs there. They didn't have no dirty UAs. I was doing good the entire time. I was told to leave, and I didn't know what to do, so I left. I didn't want to go back to prison. They told me to leave. I couldn't argue with them. I couldn't fight with them. I just had to leave. I have a lot of different church people, organizations, and everything. I wrote down all the different names of all the people that know that I was doing good the entire time. All I want to do is just get back out there and just work and continue to help people. I have an organization out there that needs me. I want to get out there and I want to be able to help people. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll take UAs every single day. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to use ever again in my entire life. You know, all I want to do is help people. That's all I think about. I can't sleep at night. You know, everybody that crossed my path out there, every single person would say that guy was doing nothing wrong at all. He was positive the entire time. You know?
Okay, Mr. Jackson, I appreciate what you're saying, especially about being gainful, working, helping, staying positive, but you did disappear from community supervision for 165 days.
Yes.
Also, and I'm glad to hear that it sounds like you're not using drugs anymore, but you did have some positives from TASC for heroin and methamphetamine in three times in May of 2018.
Yeah.
So how did the substance abuse and treatment program work out for you?
It worked. The treatment program worked out, but at the same time, drugs are not good. I know I won't use drugs ever again, but because of my drug use and my prior history of drug use, I was able to run into a lot of people and I see the pain that they're going through. So, you know, some people say, I wish I would have never used drugs, but at the same time, I'm going to grab what's positive out of it. And I know by me, when I was out there on the streets, when I was going from place to place, from home to home, just wherever I can live at, I ran into so many different people and I would tell every single person, I'm starting an organization and I want to help you guys, because being out there, I used to sleep on rocks, I used to sleep on the dirt. I was out there cold at night, no jacket, no nothing. And I, you know, just because of my experience, all the different halfway houses at the time, I didn't know why, but I had been in all the different halfway houses. I had been in treatment centers. I had been in group homes. I had been in hospitals. I've been every single place there is. And I kept asking myself, why have I been through all this? Now I know, because I can help people. I can say I've been in every single place there is, you know. The drug use, it wasn't good. It shouldn't have been done, but at the same time, it's going to help me lift somebody up and get back on their feet and stay sober for the rest of their life. You know, it's going to save lives. So, you know, all I do in here every day, I wake up, I talk to guys about positive things. I write. I wrote a book since I've been in here. I wrote a book. I write poems all day, you know, and I'm ready to write another book. You know, you can give me a day and I'm going to write an entire book, you know, about positive things, about the situations that we're faced with on a daily basis, you know. That's all I do. You can go around and ask any officer, ask anybody in here, and they'll be like, oh, you're going home. Because they know I push out nothing but positive, because that's the way it's supposed to be, man.
Well, Mr. Jackson, I'm glad you turned a corner with your life. It sounds very upbeat, and I hope you're sincere in your journey.
I am.
Why did you break up contact with your parole officer then? Seems like that you were working
with
your parole officer.
You know, I didn't know. I was working the entire time. I was scared the entire time. I didn't know, because the one thing my supervisor told me, the parole supervisor, in Carol Smith and my new parole officer, they kept on telling, they said, if you get kicked out of this place, you're going back to prison. That's all I heard. They literally told me, they're like, and nothing against them, but they said, look, you've been in this halfway house, got kicked out, you've been in that halfway house and got kicked out, and they basically said, if you get kicked out of the Transitional Living Center, TLC, you're going back to prison. That's all I can hear, and I was like, I don't want to go back to prison. I want to do good. Every single person that I've encountered, they'll say, oh, he talks about it, positive stuff, you know? That's what my life is, you know? I just want to change my stars in the righteous way. I want to move forward. And I didn't contact him and tell him, like, what happened, because I knew I was going to prison. You know, so many different times. The only thing I need to do is keep moving positive. I apologize for not contacting them, though.
Okay, you need to stay on point and manage time. We certainly want to hear what you have to share with the board.
Yes.
But
yeah.
My last question is, what caused the Phoenix Police Department to make contact with you when you were arrested on your absconder warrant?
I was on the light rail, and I had the wrong bus card. And so if you don't have the right bus card, then they basically, you have to pay if you're on the light rail. And if they pull over and you do what we do, they pull you over, they come up and ask everybody for their bus cards, then they scan it. But sometimes if you don't have a righteous bus card, then they make you get off the bus and automatically the police would be right there waiting. So I had my bus card it looked like brand new, but it was an old one.
We need to keep it concise, especially because we have an individual who wants to speak on your behalf today.
Yes.
Hold on a second, sir. So I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for Mr. Jackson at this point. Okay, Mr. Jackson, you have a support in the room. And I'm going to give Mr. Petrovic a chance to approach the podium.
Even though I'm a supporter, I do not bring pom-poms.
Okay, sir.
Because not everyone is saved. Wonderful. Hello, Jermaine.
How are you doing?
It's important that you address the board, but can you tell us your name again?
Stefan Alexander Petrovic.
And what would you like to show the board, sir?
I have two letters that up until a day and a half ago, the debate if we were going to even wrote it, if we were going to even include it and send it to the board. So I can send it to, I can give it to the board right now, or I can read it to you. But the reason I was on the pass on the light rail on that day is he was trying to get away from the East Valley, where he had done something with me and went home with the damage to my car, and that set Temp Police into motion to get for him. And I believe that's why there was a warrant out for his arrest. I have a letter here from a friend of mine who has seen him doing things that in my home for work. And the elderly woman he was speaking about in his letter was my mother, 83-year-old woman. But I have a letter here from Aiden Kane and my mother, Angelica Cavazos, New Beach. Would you like me to read them, or would you like to just give them to the court?
Well, if you give them to the board, they become a part of our file. So if you want to keep the letters, you can read them or you can hand them to the board. But just know that once they enter the file, they're going to stay there.
No, no, they can put them and stay there. Dated December 21st, to whom it may concern, I met Mr. Jermaine Jackson through my friend Stevan Petrovic. Stevan and I, as well as our parents, have been friends for over 20 years. Stevan invited Jermaine to stay with them in order to help Stevan with his ailing mother, as well as work on their home with remodeling. And apparently, that's where he was staying with us. We were all very aware of Jermaine's background and past legal issues, but my family and I kept close watch on both Stevan and his mother, for his mother was one of our country's finest known surgeons and neurologists, as well as being a member of Yugoslavia's royal family, and very dear friends to my parents. And greatly respected by my father, the late Senator John McCain. From what I witnessed when in Phoenix visiting, I have seen Jermaine working very hard and being diligent in taking care of everything in the home that needed attention. He had become sort of a right hand to Stevan's mother. I have also witnessed Jermaine helping and preaching to a group of youths that were running around the streets of Phoenix. Jermaine had approached Stevan with this idea of forming a foundation to help homeless individuals in a fine state of Arizona. With Stevan's help, Jermaine had become in the process of creating a non-profit organization that would create permanent lodging and assist homeless in re-entering society as productive citizens. His idea and hard work also caught the attention of my father, but we as a family were unable to assist at that time because of my father's health issues. I know that if my father was alive today, he would assign an aid to assist Jermaine and Stevan in helping and move forward in every way possible. I hope that you consider allowing Jermaine to be released so he can continue doing his good work for the community. And it's signed and notarized. And I work for my mother. Would I be able to do that, or?
If you want it to be added to the following case.
Yes, yes. To whom you may concern, Kim Jackson has been very instrumental in repairing and remodeling my son's home and getting it prepared to put on the housing market. Jermaine had done everything without accepting any monetary gains. He bought all the groceries every month without ever being asked and money that was not required of him. I witnessed a responsible young man with high ambitions. He has put things into motion in a nonprofit foundation to help homeless. He has also worked very closely with my son and has become my son's right hand. He has received input from Senator John McCain, my cousin Princess Elizabeth Cutajosa of Yugoslavia, and also a very similar foundation, as well as myself. Jermaine is a fine young man who is eager to learn and help anyone in need and very selfless. My son Stefan and I would very much love for Jermaine to return to our home since he has become part of our family. I implore the board to consider allowing Jermaine Jackson an early release with time served. I believe that he and the community will be better served if able to return to us instead of a type of hostel, since we are all very aware that those types of places are set up for failure and not allowing individuals to thrive to their full attention. I personally will give Jermaine the attention he needs to succeed and know that he will come out of this a better person and survivor. As I've told so many in the past, I survived the end of our monarchy, Hitler's war, Tito's communism, and exile from my own land, so Jermaine Jackson will be a walk in the park. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
She had to add that. Me, personally, I think Jermaine does very well. I think he does a good job. He's a good human being. He's a good individual. I do think he has a problem with anger issues. And I do believe that he needs to take an anger management class, some type of therapy. So that's why I stand corrected with you, with the defendant. Because not everyone thinks that he's all peaches and cream. I've had my issues with him and just want him to walk a straight and narrow road and do what's right and what's just. And it's right in front of you. And I know that he has these plans of helping others, but I learned from old school say, you donate. It starts at home. Generosity, you need to take care of your house first. And that's what was starting to become neglected. And the issues of temperament and anger stepped in. But otherwise, impeccable. We were not aware that he was supposed to be somewhere else, so. But apparently he hated that, so I apologize to the board.
Thank you, sir. Any questions for Mr. Petrovic? Thank you for appearing before the board, sir. And if you wanted to add these to the law,
yes.
Thank you so much. And I will say again, before we continue, we also have some letters from victims, in particular, the victim's mother from the original crime, Miss Karen Lancaster, plus some additional supporting letters from South Mountain High School, opposing returning Mr. Jackson to community supervision. Just for the sake of the record, okay, Mr. Jackson, we're getting close to the end of your hearing.
Okay.
Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before the board goes into discussion and votes on this case? Thank you, sir.
Yes, I just want to say that, you know, I know there's people out there that may want me to stay incarcerated, but me being out, you know, is I'm going to do a lot of good things, and, you know, I apologize for any wrongdoing that I did to anybody, and me being released will not be a bad thing. I know they may look on it right now and think that it's not a good idea, but it is a good idea. It's the right thing to do. I just hope everybody have a blessed day, you know.
Well, thank you, Mr. Jackson. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I certainly appreciate what Mr. Jackson had to say about what he was doing in the community and helping. It sounds like that we had testimony today that he was actually helping an individual, an elderly person. And I'm hoping that he is turning the corner on his life, especially staying away from drugs and being an upstanding citizen. The fact remains, it is very hard to look past not just relapsing into drugs, because we like to see people get treatment and move on with their lives, but he absconded from community supervision for 165 days. And I just, as one individual voting board member, find that a violation of the spirit of community supervision, especially because we could not account for his transition back to the community. He may have been doing good, and I appreciate that, but he had broken contact with his parole officer, and we could not account for his activity. That's where we begin the discussion. Hearing no further input, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to this board in warrant number 2018W1883, our discussion with Mr. Jackson, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision, as Mr. Jackson was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapsed, was about to lapse in a criminal laser company, inasmuch that he relapsed into drug use and absconded from supervision for 165 days, in which we could not monitor his transition back to the community, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright and the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Jackson, your supervision has been revoked and you will be released on or about February 28, 2020. I recognize that that's over a year away. I am glad to say that it is not many years away. It is really a matter of months. So we encourage you to take advantage of any programming that's available to you inside the Department of Corrections and to put together a plan for your safe return to the community. agenda quota on your life. You've had some very good support here in the room today. I hope that you've put the drugs behind you. So we hope to see you return to the community successful and productive, and we certainly hope to never see an orange again. If you could, please give the phone to your CO3, and thank you for appearing before the board today, sir.
Yeah, thank you.